Hey guys, welcome back to the Carbonite Crew podcast. Thank you for listening. This is our first post Rise of Skywalker recording, so welcome. I'm sure you guys want to hear all about the Rise of Skywalker, and we want to talk about it. Joining me today, Steven Cardenas is back. How are you doing, Steven?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to be back on.
Good, good. We're glad to have you back on. It's just you and I today. You and I saw the movie together. And I know we have a lot to talk. I know we haven't really talked about it since, and I know it's been like a week or so now.
We've been saving it.
Yeah, we've had about a week to kind of just soak it all in. I figured today you and I can just go over some of our favorite things and talk about them and dive into them. You know what? Let's just talk about it. Let's just dive in. Because it's
twice, too.
Exactly. We've both seen it twice. So we've been able to really... Because I noticed a lot of things the second time, and I know you did too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So let's just jump right in. What was one thing you loved about this movie, or one thing that you just really enjoyed?
Yeah, I loved just the way they kicked it off. So it's like right away you have this kind of crazy action sequence with Kylo just like messing stuff up. But even more than that, they jumped right into introducing Palpatine. I was kind of worried going into it. I was like, okay, so we've got to bring back this villain that's been dead for, I don't know, how long is it since, you know, episode
6 years
came
at
out?
Least?
30 I mean... years or whatever. It's like, so they just kind of like did it, and they did it really fast. And I think I appreciated that because you didn't really get time to like worry about it. It was just like, right. Oh, okay, here we are and we're going. So I really like the way they started the movie off.
Yeah, I almost, you know, watching it twice now and kind of thinking about the movie, I don't know how else you really could start the movie out, because
I agree,
you don't want to start it slow, because I mean there was a lot to fit in, and we knew there was going to be a lot to fit in this 2.5 hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like they got straight to the point. And I think I even turned to you right at the beginning, because you know, the end of every crawl of every episode, whatever it ends at on the crawl, is like right what we go into. And the fact that it said, you know, Kylo is trying to put an end to anything that, you know, threatens his power, I'm like, oh, we're getting Kylo right now. And it was great.
And I really liked that.
And I don't know if you saw this or anything or had heard this, but it is confirmed that that planet he is on at the beginning where he gets the Wayfinder is Mustafar.
I did see that. I saw that it was Mustafar, and that's pretty sweet. Not gonna lie.
It is super cool. Like, I almost wish they would have maybe done, like, a wide shot of Vader's castle, or, like, remnants of it or something.
Yeah.
But
that would have been cool if they, like, did a little bit more, like, allusion to the fact that, like, hey, we're here on Mustafar, one of the most important planets in Star Wars. But I also like that they didn't, like, make a big deal of it, too. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool.
That almost, it makes me, I know there's the whole, you know, slicing theory of how to watch the movies, and there's 1,000 ways to watch them. And now, after knowing that, I want to watch 3 right into 9. Just for that. Like, just the whole Mustafar thing. I think that might be a cool little transition. But yeah, that beginning, you know, I was thinking about it the second time I watched it, and he's, you know, doing his signature Kylo pointing the lightsaber little bit. What if he just killed the Emperor right then and there? Like, would he have become the ultimate Sith?
Oh my gosh.
Because that would have been...
I don't know what would have happened.
Like, it would have been done. Everyone would have been done.
Yeah?
unless because
I assume he would have kind of taken his spot, right?
I assume unless because he's a dyad in the Force with Rey, that's not possible. I don't know. But oh god, because yeah, I was watching the second time, I'm like, just stab him, just do it.
Just do it, and then I go home early.
Right? I don't have to stare for 2.5 hours. Oh, but I absolutely love that part. Like, I know there were some people that said the movie moved too fast and too slow at some points, but, like, me personally, I can sort of agree and see how maybe some parts move too fast. I think that was more for me in the character development of some of the newer characters. But overall, like...
Yeah, I could see that.
I never felt like I was sitting there 2.5 hours. I never felt like anything was dragging. I never felt like it's going too fast. Like, I just felt like you started off strong, you jumped into it, and we just went. I was happy with it. Completely happy with it.
As was I. I think I was fine with the pacing of the movie. I don't think I really have any complaints.
No, I think it was great. Yeah.
I know they did kind of throw in a lot of, like, characters into it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think back to, like, the prequels even, they did that a lot too, I feel like, where
true.
Each scene you kind of have a character that's going to pass by and not be, like, a huge part, but play a small role.
I think my biggest thing, biggest character in terms of, like, I wish we would have gotten more was Zori Bliss. I think she has a lot to offer. I think it was really interesting, just the little we saw of her. I'm sure we'll get a book or something. But
yeah, I think we will. We'll get something more with her. We might even just get like her and Poe's backstory too, you know?
I would love that. I would read that all day. Or like a mini series or something. Cool. But
yeah.
One of the things I really, really liked in the movie, and I was going to save this till the end, but it's just on my mind, and I really loved it, and it was my favorite part of the movie. But it's where Ben Solo is fighting the Knights of Ren and Rey is facing Emperor Palpatine or confronting him. And they just, they have that Force connection and they give each other that little nod. She got, you know, pulls back her lightsaber looking like she's about to swing it. And then all of a sudden she pulls her hand back and the lightsaber's gone. And it cuts back to Ben and the Knights of Ren. And he has it in his hand, and I didn't notice it till I watched it the second time, but he gives them all, like, all the Knights of Ren, like, this look, like, and shrugs his shoulders, like, we gonna do this? Like, all right, let's do it. And I'm just, that was my absolute favorite part of the movie.
That's a good part. That was a pretty sweet scene.
Like, you knew it was coming.
What are your thoughts on the, maybe I'm cutting you off, but what are your thoughts on that whole, like, dyad and the Force interesting connection?
If this was something we had talked about 6 months ago or a year ago going into The Last Jedi, you know, and talking about the things that they did in this movie, like fighting and handing stuff off and being two places at once, I would have said that sounds very out there and something they wouldn't do in the movies.
Yep, I agree.
But the fact that they did it, and I think they set it up very well in The Last Jedi. I think that's something Rian Johnson did very well and that J.J. took and, like, ran with it super, super well.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. You know, they do have this connection, so how do you prove that they have this connection? Oh, they can do whatever they want from, you know, miles or galaxies away. And it's – I loved it. And it set up the end really well. And the fighting, yes. I don't know. I loved it. What about you? What do you think of it?
I think it was a good way to explain a lot of what's been going on these three movies. You know, like, just think about, like, Last Jedi and all the scenes of them kind of, like, reaching each other across space, you know? It's, like, not something that we've seen before. So I thought it was pretty interesting for sure.
And it worked really well, just the way they pulled it off. And like I said, they even set it up really well. They set it up nice with the little things on The Last Jedi, like the water on his hand or them touching, you know, the hut.
Yep.
I guess we can assume that was Palpatine that did that, maybe, right? I don't know.
I almost wonder if it's not even like if it wasn't. I think it's Palpatine's fault. Probably, but was it on purpose is the question.
True, because they made the only thing I can really think of is they made that comment in Last Jedi where Snoke says, "I bridged your minds. I'm the one that did it."
Oh, I forgot about that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing, but out of everything we have in these movies, I can easily overlook that comment.
That's kind of what I'm wondering if they want us to do, is just like, let's pretend like he didn't say that.
Right. So, because they mentioned them being a dyad twice in the movie, in this new movie. So yes. I assume that's what they want. That's what I'm going to go with. But yep. Yeah, definitely them passing the lightsaber off. I could watch that all day.
That was super sweet.
What's something else you enjoyed about the movie?
So I actually really liked Kylo in this movie. The character development I thought was really cool, just the way that he changes. I like the fact that they kind of brought him back to the light side to kind of finish off the movie. Even though it does, you know, like really mirror Darth Vader from the original trilogy, I think that's okay. And we got a lot more screen time of Kylo as a good guy than we did with Darth Vader as a good guy. Yep. So I'm pretty okay with that. But I thought it kind of needed to happen. Kylo's development in the movie, I thought, and the way that he turned back, I thought was really cool. I don't know. I think it added a lot, and I think that Adam Driver just did such a great job. I loved watching him in this movie as compared to some of the other ones. Not that he did a bad job in the other ones by any means, but just the way they kind of wrapped up the character I thought was really cool.
I've always said from the TFA that he would have been the perfect Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like Kylo's character is what Anakin should have been from the get.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
So that's why I never agreed personally with the whole Kylo and his whiny stuff. I'm like, everyone likes Vader, but that's fine. And we all saw how the prequels went. But yeah, I 110% agree with you on that. He's just so good. And I don't know if it was just him or the writing, but yeah, Adam Driver did a phenomenal job. The good guy, the bad guy, I don't know, everything. I can't say enough.
I thought it was really fun. I really liked the Han Solo scene.
It got me so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely the second time I saw it, and I don't know about you, but like I had a lot more goosebumps and got a lot more emotional about things the second time.
Yeah.
And I think, and you brought this up, but I wasn't sitting there trying to anticipate everything or like have all this anxiety about what's about to happen. So I can kind of take everything in a lot more.
Yep.
Just that scene got me definitely. Which that actually leads me into my second point. I don't know why, but it just sticks out where she's standing on Tatooine, you know, on the Owens homestead with BB-8 looking at the dual sunset, and it's in the shape of BB-8 for a moment.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's the two suns like line up for a split second, and they in the shape of BB-8, like right behind BB-8, and it's just there's something about it, and then it goes into the classic two sunsets while it's playing the whole, you know, binary sunset theme, and I don't know, there was something about that just it got me, right before she ignites the light. Well, even her igniting the lightsaber, like just that scene in itself.
I'm glad they ended it that way. I hadn't really thought about it, like, oh, what's the last scene going to look like? But it just makes sense that it would be on Tatooine right there. You know what I mean?
I didn't see that coming at all.
It's just like, oh, that makes sense. This is where it should end. It should end where it started.
Right? It's poetic, right? It's the beginning and the end of any classic story. I mean, you know, watch any comedy bit, that's how it starts and that comes full circle. And it just makes sense. And I guess that leads to another little question I have we can talk about. Like, does she just end up on Tatooine? Does she live there?
You know, that's a good question. I would have to go with no. I don't think she would. I think her, like, the way her character is, I think she would be inclined to do so, to just, like, isolate herself and live there and just kind of, like, be alone and do her own thing. But I think she also understands the weight of kind of, like, what she has to do now.
You don't think she'll do the opposite of what Luke did, though?
I do think so, yes.
So you think she will kind of just do her own thing?
I think No, I think she'll do what Luke originally, where I think she will try to train the Jedi, right?
Huh.
Like, I think she'll start that again, that whole process.
Okay. I like that. I like where we ended in the sense of I don't need a movie right now. I don't need another one. You know, someone said they'll do more. That's okay. If you are going to do more, wait 15 years. I know, and I'm at this point of the Skywalker saga where I'm okay if we never get anything after the Rey stuff. I think it ended in the perfect spot. Yeah, you can do
I
so
agree.
much more. You can, but it ended in such just a good stopping point. Why? Leave it. I'm content. I'm sure a lot of other people are content. I've heard no one really gripe about the ending, as far as my knowledge so far. I thought it was good. And JJ, who has always been the master of, you know, cliffhangers and not endings per se, I thought he did a excellent job.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I was satisfied with kind of where it was all left off, I think. So,
Good. But yeah,
and you're right. Like, there is a lot more that they could do, but I don't think they need to by any means, for sure.
I got one.
How many are left?
Too many.
We have Kylo. You like the fast-paced intro and that we just got straight to the point. What else did you really, really enjoy?
Really, the last thing, and this is my favorite part of the movie, is the voices that Rey hears at the end of the movie. That short, it was short, that short scene where, she hears all of the Jedi to her, and we get to get this like call back to all of these really cool characters. I think they needed to do something similar to tie in not just the original trilogy. Because that's kind of where we'd been at, was like, okay, we have, Harrison Ford coming back as Han Solo, and we have Luke Skywalker, and we have Leia, but we can't just pretend like the prequels didn't happen.
Right.
We can't take that approach. So it's like, okay, well, let's put Hayden Christensen in there. Let's have Samuel L. Jackson in there. Let's have Kanan Jarrus from Rebels. Let's have Ahsoka. You know what I mean? So it's like, calling back to that era as well, I think really important. I'm glad that they did it.
I definitely agree 100%. I thought, I know you and I both really wanted a Hayden Christensen cameo, like Force Ghost or something. And there was a few parts I know we both thought it was about to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
but I'm completely satisfied with what we got. And his line was, one of the best ones was when he said something along the lines of Rey, bring back balance the way I did. You know, something that says, I like it 'cause it's him, you get to hear him clear. He's talking about the storyline that we were familiar with. It's not erasing anything. It's basically confirming that he still is the chosen one, even though we have more happening after. And and I love that because to kind of like veer off for a second, but it's cool because we still have Anakin's the chosen one storyline, and then 30 years later we have this going on, and people can say obviously he wasn't the chosen one, but really. You can look at this as a whole new chapter of the Force and saying it has nothing to do with the balancing the Force. These two are a dyad, and it's a completely different game. It's not about balance. In a sense, they already are a balance, being a dyad in the Force. And now we just have to, get rid of one of them. And I don't know. So thinking about that, I kind of just thought about that just now, but I kind of like it that it's two still separate things, but.
Yeah, I agree.
I know Dave Filoni teased a little bit about something, but we can assume that Ahsoka is dead at this point in the movie because it was only dead Jedi, as far as we know, that we're talking.
Maybe, but you saw what he posted too, right? You saw
The whole
the
Gandalf
picture
thing.
with Gandalf.
Dave
But
Filoni needs
like,
to stop.
technically, that kind of happened already. So is it like this reference to what has already happened just to mess with us, or is it real?
Or is Ahsoka so
And I just have no
powerful that she
idea.
can talk to her without being dead?
Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe like maybe this whole event was just so intense that like she felt it happening and she like spoke to him or spoke to Rey. You know what I mean? Like, it's very possible. Well, I think that.
Or is Rey kinda, like, really talk. The last Jedi at the moment?
It could. She very well could be.
Which I kind of like it that way, to be honest with you.
Except for Ezra, but yeah.
Well, if Ahsoka died, did she die after she found Ezra, or?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm just going around telling people like Freddie Prinze Jr. is in Rise of the Skywalker, just so everyone knows. Just want everyone to know that Freddie from Scooby Doo is in the Rise of Skywalker. Hope you all see his cameo. And they're all like, what are you talking about?
And that's a big deal. That's a big
So Ahsoka's dead, confirmed.
You think so?
I think it makes the Rey story better if she is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Like, I think, like, because, like, let's say she's alive. Like, thanks for helping, bro.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I don't know.
Like, where were you? Like, what? She's way more trained than Rey is, so, like.
Yeah, exactly. And she's Ahsoka, and she would probably have Ezra with her by now. Like, unless you're going to say they're in the Ghost, which makes it even worse. But we got to see the Ghost, like, which is pretty cool.
Oh, don't worry. We'll just stay up here.
Yeah, we'll just fly. We're good.
Has anybody confirmed that was the Ghost, or do we just know it?
I'm pretty sure it's confirmed. I really don't know, to be honest with you. It is. Let's just say it is.
Yeah, I'm, like, good with just, you know, saying it is, but. I was wondering if anybody addressed it.
I didn't notice until my second viewing that when they showed up, like when they left to go fight the final battle, that Lando went somewhere else to go find everybody. I didn't realize that till the second viewing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when he came back is when he had everybody.
The first time.
That lightsaber, it belongs to me. Come get it.
There's a lot of things I really enjoyed. It's really hard to pick one. I might as well just take one out of the blue because I really like everything. The yellow lightsaber. It's really, loved the yellow lightsaber because we have not seen that color in live action yet.
Nope, we have not.
I know it was a nod to kind of the classic Star Wars. I know that idea was played around with the original trilogy. And I love it was a great nod to Rebels. And Clone Wars, and the people that have watched that those animated series. It was cool that it was part of her staff, you know, because we had only speculated from the beginning that what if her staff is a lightsaber, and it's cool that she turned it into one.
I actually did not realize from her staff.
Did you notice the way she turns it on, ignites it as well?
I saw that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That she, like, turns it, which seems really... not useful in a battle whole sequence, but I guess she could still just use the Force to turn it on, really, in reality, but still, like, I don't know. Seems like a good way to accidentally turn it on if it's, like, hanging from your belt, to be honest, too.
That's what I think so. Maybe she just didn't have any extra buttons laying around.
I would just totally make it where I can only turn it on and off with the Force. I think that's the most sensible.
What if you did it in your sleep?
Just don't sleep with it next to you, then. Not under your pillow or anything.
Okay, anyway. So, yes, that was. I also really like that they did a different color.
And I don't know if you noticed this. I don't even know if I told you about it when I noticed it. But you can go see it for a third time if you like. It's still in theaters. When she when she turns it and ignites it, right before the yellow comes out, you see a spark of blue and green.
I did not notice that.
It was really cool. Like, are there two crystals in there?
Maybe. I wonder.
I don't know.
Like, is that how colors work? Blue and green make yellow.
I think so. You have an engineering degree, right? So you should know.
I know.
That's how that works,
see how
right?
That's relevant in the slightest bit.
Colors. I don't know. You're supposed to engineer colors. You engineer a new color.
I don't think I do that.
Well. Whatever.
Anyway, so those were the three things that we each liked about the movie.
Yes. Just the three short list of things I really liked about the movie. And I will say this before we move on is the whole yellow lightsaber thing. It was a real good callback to, like, obviously the temple guards, you know, during the rebels and stuff, that which, you know, led to the inquisitors and stuff, but the temple guards had yellow lightsabers.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, maybe does she become one? Is she that in balance with the force that can only, I don't know. I would like to learn more about yellow lightsabers.
I agree.
It fits her.
It could just be the color they picked, though, too.
And so, you know what? I just thought about this, and I'm really excited. I just thought about this. Go back, and I only know this because I really wanted the pop. The only reason I know this in my head. Go back to the first The Force Awakens, and she's sitting eating her portion, you know, outside the AT-AT. She's got the X-Wing fighter helmet on. That's a yellow squadron helmet. Interesting.
Oh, nice.
Interesting. Little callbacks. I like it. Little things, so. I love it. Do you want to talk about things we didn't like, or do you want to just leave it at the positives? What would you, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah. As far as this movie specifically, I don't have a ton of, like, negative thoughts about this one.
Same.
I was really satisfied, like, with what we'd been given up to that point. If you consider, like, you know, episode 7, episode 8 as, like, given information, you can't change it. Obviously, you can't. Mm-hmm. Then I was pretty satisfied with, like, the direction they went with episode 9. And I don't have a ton of complaints. I know it was a lot of fan service, and I do see that. Okay, we're going to do these things to try to make fans happy. But I'm very okay with that because of how poorly The Last Jedi was received.
Right.
I think they needed fans.
And I completely agree. I think there was a lot of fan service, but I don't think it did any, I don't think it did any harm. I think it did more good than harm. You know, go if you want to talk. I mean, everyone complains. A lot of people complain about fan service in movies, and you know, you gotta make it for the story, not for the fan service. I can show you a movie that came out in April of this year called Endgame, and you want to talk about fan service? It's the same thing. And guess what? That's the highest grossing movie of all time.
Yep.
Fan service is what people
that
want.
Correct.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm sorry. That's what they want. That's what I want. I'd be the first to admit it. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things fan service they didn't do because it didn't fit the story. I think they made it work perfectly. You know,
right. If they were doing fan service, they would have brought Ezra back.
I hate the Rise of Skywalker. They didn't bring Ezra back. Where is Ezra Bridger? That's the show. We should have got custom shirts that said "Where is Ezra Bridger" and wore those.
Yes.
That's gonna be my next con shirt.
I just want Ezra back.
Oh gosh. You know, I saw The Last Jedi twice in theaters, and both times I walked out feeling like just something was off. You know, I walked out the second time seeing this movie, and I still felt like this is a good movie. I don't, and over time, The Last Jedi, I've learned to like it more and more, and I can only see that happening with Rise of Skywalker. I don't see it going backwards. And really the same with any Star Wars movie. There's not one I like less than I did before. Worst movie is The Attack of the Clones, and I still love that movie. So,
yep.
My only thing, and I'll probably say this when I talk to Jonathan and Daniel about it, but I wish they would have taken the first half of this movie, put it in The Last Jedi, and just only kept the Rey and Luke stuff in The Last Jedi, and I think it would have been perfect.
Okay, that's an interesting thought, and it kind of goes into a little bit of what is wanting to talk about, and it's like how much of this movie was actually planned prior to them writing this movie. Do you know what I mean? I think my biggest complaint is how disjointed it feels from the rest of the, but I don't want to fault this movie. I want to fault other movies, if that makes sense.
I think if you are going to fault one movie, I think that really falls on The Last Jedi. Just because not a lot happened story-wise to further anything. And
I would argue roughly zero happened story-wise.
And I walked out, I was thinking, I was like, okay. Because I know you and I have talked about this a lot, is, you know, I think The Last Jedi is going to be a lot better after this next movie because it will make sense. And I think parts of it did. you know, the whole Snoke stuff, they kind of quickly, talked about that and why that he was what he was. Which, side note, if he created Snoke and he was that powerful, why not just have an army of those to take over? Whatever. And, but, you know, I thought about it, I was like, okay, how does The Last Jedi fit into this? Honestly, other than a few character developments and the whole Luke stuff, you could easily watch 7 right into 9 and you'll probably be fine.
So that is one of the things that I'm a little, I don't love, but I don't know how, like, what I would have wrapped. Like, I don't think there's anything else they could have done.
You know what I mean? You're right. I think had they tried to play more in, and I think JJ definitely played into the Force Awakens more just because that was his movie too. If you play more into The Last Jedi, you know, two things. One, you're playing more into a movie that people just seem to not like more than the other one. And two, you know, you're playing into, I guess it really comes down to which two movies do you want to go together the best? 7, 8, 8, 9, 7, yep. 9, 8, you know what I mean? And I think 7, 9 just...
Yeah, because 7 and 8 do not go together.
They don't. And right. I just think a lot of that has to do with, you know, many of you watch the movie, they don't, they literally start in space and they end in space. It's the same spot. The only thing is Rey and Luke met, Kylo and Rey connected, and there's less people in the Resistance. That's the only difference.
Snoke died too, but like obviously that meant like literally nothing.
Yeah. It really meant nothing at all. You know, and like
I don't love how like big of a deal he was in Force Awakens, and then they spent what 7 seconds like phasing over him tube thing to say like, oh, he's not a big deal, and it's like, okay, well that's obviously not what we were getting at in the first movie.
Right. And there is some Star Wars universe where 7 is one of the best movies in the whole trilogy because of the movies around it in some alternate universe. Because the story flows. And I 7 is not a bad movie. It is not. It just doesn't flow with the story. Seven is a movie that should have been a book, right? Or a comic. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's a great three-day thing.
It's really strange.
It is, and I think that really falls on Lucasfilm and Disney and all that in the long run of you should have just kept all three people the same throughout the whole thing.
Yep.
And, you know, they say that the whole Palpatine thing was planned, which I do believe. I do believe that was partially planned. You don't?
I do not believe it.
I do it because I want to believe it, and I'm just...
Sure, it feels better if you believe it.
I think they were really trying to replicate the original trilogy and where they were like, oh, we're just going to wing it every movie, you know? Like, oh, Vader's your father. Oh, I guess you're a brother and a sister. Like, we're just winging things every movie, right? I really think that's what they were trying to do. That's not how it works. I mean, look at Marvel.
Not at all.
Over the last 10 years, I'm sorry, probably 8 years of that was planned out. That's roughly.
Oh, yeah. In some sort of fashion. Just like...
And
just, very sketched out.
Like, I would have been okay waiting another 5 years for this trilogy to be over if it would have all just been more cohesive.
Yep.
But, like I said, I got a great episode 9. I know there's a lot of people that disagree with me and that were disappointed somewhat. It's easy for me to say because I was content with it, but I'm happy. I thought there was great fan service. I thought it worked. I thought the cameos were well placed, like with the Jedi voices and stuff like that.
Yeah,
maybe it was a little fast paced. Maybe they should have made a 3-hour movie. You know, I think they should have. Why not?
Maybe.
I'm excited to see the deleted scenes whenever those come out in a few months.
Oh, yeah. That'll be interesting to see.
So, because I know there was a few in The Last Jedi that didn't make the cut that probably should have. And I'm specifically thinking of Luke being sad that Han's dead. I don't know how that didn't make it, but
wait, what?
There's a deleted scene in The Last Jedi. It's like probably like 20 something seconds. It's not maybe 40 seconds. It's not long, but like it's Luke in I think it's right after he finds out Han died, or right after that he's alone in his hut, and he like I think he like sheds a tear or something. realizing that, like, like, you know, because Han is dead. And I'm like, why did that not make it, but him getting milk from this space cow make it? Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not saying that was the worst scene in all of Star Wars, even though it probably is, but why did that make it over him crying about his friend? Like, I just didn't get it. I still...
Yeah.
If I had never seen that deleted scene, I really wouldn't care about the whole green milk scene all that much, but because that other scene is, like, in existence, I can't.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point.
And it's probably on Disney Plus. I know Last Jedi just went up today or yesterday, so I'm sure the deleted scene's on there, but...
I'll have to watch them, but... I also haven't watched that movie in, like, over a year.
See, I went back and watched 4 through 7 yeah. over again before I watch this new one. And yeah, but yeah, like I have no real gripes about this movie. I thought it was great. I just, I want to see it mm-hmm. again.
All right. Well, I do have one last, and I know I texted you this a few days ago. But we're satisfied with episode 9, and we both agree with that, right?
Yes.
We're both content with it.
Completely.
Are we content with the trilogy as a whole?
Like the sequel trilogy, 7, 8, 9?
Yes.
Yes. Because I think The Force Awakens is a beautiful movie. I know I know there's a lot of, you know, comparisons to 4.
I think that was on purpose, though.
I do, too. But, you know, watching all three of them, I think they're all like that to the original trilogy in some aspect. I can't sit there and dwell on it, because if I do that, I'm going to find every movie I ever watch is going to be like... I can compare it to anything, right? if we're gonna go down that road. I think Force Awakens was beautifully done, the way it introduced us to characters and the story it starts. And... I think it's even a better movie now, in a sense that, like, we start out with the scavenger from Jakku, not really knowing what's going on, you know. Yeah, she obviously something's going on. She's kind of important, cool. And then, you know, like, I guess what I'm thinking of specifically is she's this girl. She's cleaning up scavenged parts from this Death Star, and my mind immediately jumps over to her with crossed lightsabers, electrocuting the Emperor, like, out of existence. And, like, just those two scenes, like, back, like, where we started and where we ended is amazing. Even if you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really true. That's a good point.
Take the first hour of The Force Awakens and the last hour of The Rise of Skywalker. Just the story right there. If you told me nothing else, I'm in. I'll add this because I didn't really think about it till now, but, like, Windu, you know, kind of shoots his lightning back at Palpatine and it scars him.
Yeah.
And then the way Rey finishes it off is, like, mirrored. It's a very mirrored image, but...
Yeah, it is.
Which, and I was talking to someone, and, you know, they told me, they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to see the movie, because he kind of had heard the ending. He's like, you know, where she says, I am all the Jedi. And I thought it was funny, because I'm like, well, I'm like, yeah, if you say that out of context and, like, out of, like, not knowing what happens, that sounds cheesy. Like, that sounds super cheesy. I am all the Jedi. But, like, I'm thinking about it now and I'm getting goosebumps. We just heard all these Jedi voices. She's got these two lightsabers, which, mind you, are Luke and Leia's. That alone.
Is a mess.
Two blues crossed, because the two blue lightsabers, the battle, the blue versus blue lightsaber is the best lightsaber battle in Star Wars history, right?
Yep.
And then she's taking out the Emperor. Come on. That was so cool.
It really was.
See, I'm going to go on a 2-hour tangent. What do you think of the trilogy?
I wish they would have went a different direction.
In the sense of a story, or?
Yeah, probably. I think the way I would describe it is, if I could hop in a time machine, go back, and it was 6 years, 5 years?
It would have been, like, probably 5, 6 years they started working on it. Probably longer than that.
Yeah, and if for some reason I could have somewhat of a say over it, I would just probably do something completely different. I don't even know that I would hop in. I might even go within the Skywalker story again.
You wouldn't?
You know what I mean? I think if I was choosing, I might just start with something like a Knights of the Old Republic kind of.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And it doesn't have to be that necessarily. It could be, you know, 200 years after Return of the Jedi. You know what I mean? Like,
so, okay, let me ask you a question then. Same mm-hmm. story, same everything we got, but not the Skywalker saga. We jump 200 years in the future, and you have a Kylo Ren. Obviously, he wouldn't be Ben Solo, but he's Kylo Ren. You have this Rey girl, all that. Would it still be as good?
Yeah.
Or you'd be fine with that?
I think it would be fantastic. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
That's actually a really good way to describe it. Like, yeah, hop 200 years. Obviously, you don't have Harrison Ford in that. Obviously, mm-hmm. you don't have, you know, Leia coming back. And I'm okay with all of that. I don't need everything to tie around these four characters. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you...
That's what happened is, like, we're running out of space to design because our limitations are... And our constraints are just so tight. It's like, okay, we have to have everything built around Leia, Han, Luke.
Yeah, I think that was a big downfall. I would agree. Completely.
And so then you kind of end up with this, like, rewritten, okay, we're going to hop back to things that already happened because we don't have anything else to do. And, like, you're, like, time frame-wise, like, okay, like, where'd the First Order come from? Like, all these things... And if it was up to me, I'm not necessarily complaining about it. I'm really happy with Rise of Skywalker and kind of the way they ended it. I just hope that they learned their lessons from this trilogy and they do something completely unrelated for the next one.
I agree. You mentioned the First Order. I do think that's always been a big gripe of mine. Like, you know, because, you know, I've read and listened to some of the new books and stuff, and It's what, 30 years later, you know, because Kylo's, I think, 30. So you're talking 30 years after Return of the Jedi, probably a little longer. Like, obviously, I think that does, it takes away from, you know, the original trilogy in a little bit of sense of, like, oh, cool, they defeated the Empire, mm-hmm. and now there's this whole new, you know, bad, like, you know, Empire, basically, that just, like, it took over 30 years yeah. later. Like, you did yeah. nothing. Like, I'm, like, you know, I'm generalizing it, but...
I think my thing is like, you could think of nothing else other than Empire version.
Right. Right, like, you could have...
And then it turns out to be run by the same exact guy.
Like, okay, you could have literally had a Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren be your whole bad guy for this whole trilogy, and had you done it right, it yes. would have worked perfectly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would have been fantastic.
And they could have set it up in The Last Jedi, you know, because they mentioned the Knights of Ren. They could have had it where Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren just take out the First Order. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I agree with you. I think this trilogy was a little bit too focused on the Han, Luke, and Leia. I don't mm-hmm. think it helped that they never were really together in any of the movies. We never got all three of them. All three of them. I wish Luke and Leia would have been there, or at least Leia been there when Han got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think Carrie Fisher dying too, I think, really threw a wrench in a lot of stuff. I think her role in this new movie would have been a lot better and bigger.
Yeah.
Personally, and you can tell, and I won't, like, talk about it long, but I think you can definitely tell, like, they only had so many scenes they could work with yep. for this movie, because a lot of it just looked, knowing the circumstances, I think a lot of it looked to me a little unnatural.
I agree.
I could be completely wrong, but, like, when I think it's when Ben and her are fighting and she, like, turns away because she feels something weird, and, you know, Dominic Monaghan, his character, looks over at her like, ooh, what's going on? I think that scene was originally shot when Han died. I think there was a lot of probably versions JJ played with in the beginning. I bet that's what that was recorded or reused from. That's my guess. I know that's kind of off topic. But I think that's the reason we have the Skywalker lightsaber still in play, is because of that. Purely because of that. I know they've said her outfit was pretty much the same, only brighter because of a lot of the scenes she shot with Leia was that outfit, and they were able just to kind of colorize that more. So that's why okay. they basically gave her the same outfit, but just brighter. Yeah, a lot of little things like that I've heard. So, but I mean, all in all, I'm happy. Okay, question, since you brought up the whole sequel trilogy. What's your favorite trilogy?
Yep. Ooh, prequels.
Prequels, okay. And when you say that, as a okay, I know where you're coming from on this already. Do you like, are you saying all three trilogy or prequel movies are the best together, or are you just saying Revenge of the Sith is better than any of the other trilogies?
I'm saying that Revenge of the Sith is almost enough to be better than all of the other ones, and then Darth Maul and Liam Neeson
okay.
take it over the limit.
Ooh. you know,
and pod racing. I love the Phantom Menace. I love the Phantom.
You know, I was watching it was on TV the other day, the Phantom Menace, and I was watching the pod racing scene, and it's a great scene, right? But I was sitting here watching, and I'm like, whose call was it? And we know it was George Lucas's, but I was like, what was going through his head where they're just like, he's just like, let's dedicate 15 minutes of this movie to just racing with no dialogue. And I'm like, because it's literally just a NASCAR race for like 10, 15 minutes of the movie with a few lines here and there. It's super weird when you think about it from like a Star Wars / like racing perspective. Like, it doesn't go together.
Yeah,
but it is a great scene. Because, yeah, I was just sitting there watching it for a good like 5 minutes. And I'm like, all I hear is the pod racers. All you hear.
Like, why?
No. I'm like, this is weird. While you're throwing in Jabba and like Tusken Raiders, I'm like, what is going on? He's just like showing old characters during this racing. It's weird. I don't know. It's great. Don't get me
That's
wrong.
That's a good point.
But
anyway, yeah. So that those and let me be clear. Those are my favorite. I don't know if they're the best.
What, Phantom Menace is your favorite?
No. Sorry, that trilogy.
Oh, that trilogy. Okay.
But I don't know if I would say that it's like the objectively best trilogy in Star Wars.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you another question.
The objective best trilogy is probably any three Mandalorian episodes. This
would be... Just any three in any order. If it has Baby Yoda in it, it's probably the best Star Wars that's ever been released.
Okay, what about you?
Wait,
no, you said you had another question.
No, I'll answer this before I move on. I would say, oh God, I don't know. I'm gonna say prequels just because I grew up with them. So I mean,
yeah,
there's
I think
just
that's what does it for me.
There's just that connection, you know, like it's just that I guess nostalgia. If I'm even old enough to call it nostalgia, but like that's your childhood, right? And Star Wars is meant for, it's a kid thing. Like, it was always meant for kids. I grew up on the prequels. I love them. Yeah, some of those movies or some of the lines, like, it's just horrendous. But I know you and I have talked about it. I think that makes them even better, that I can enjoy them on so many different levels. I want to watch a really bad movie, I can turn on the prequels. Want to watch a really good movie, I can turn on the prequels. You know, like, and guess what? In the end, I get Darth Vader. That's my reward for sticking through him. Like, I get to watch Darth Vader, like, just come. It's cool. Now that that's been answered by both of us, if you had to tell, if someone's like, I've never seen Star Wars, what three should I watch? I only have time for three. Okay, no, let me say.
Oh, and that's literally.
Yeah, any three. I'm not even going to go trilogy. What? Any three. I only have time for three. What three movies are you going to show them?
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe like 3, 4, and 6 or something like that.
Okay.
Like 4 has to be included, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think it does.
In my mind,
I think it does.
In my order, I don't. It's not.
I just like So what then? What, like three?
I would say personally, I think three. If you wanted to give someone just an overall Star Wars experience and give them enough story to kind of understand what's going on and put it together,
3, 6, 9.
I would go 3, 6, 9. Because you get the fall of Anakin, rise of Vader, all of the Jedi dying. You get Darth Vader fighting his own son, because they talk about it plenty in that movie how they're related. You get the Luke and Leia bond. Vader getting redeemed. You know Han and Leia are together. Then you jump to 9. You know there's characters like you'll put together. You'll understand. I mean, you find out they do the whole Han Solo, Ben Solo thing. The Leia, Ben Solo thing. Luke is in it for a minute. They talk about him training Leia. Like, I think you have enough info where if you watched it just those three, like, enough times, you would start putting stuff together and get this over. And then you get the whole, like, you are all the Jedi after you just watched two movies ago, all the Jedi get killed. Kind of like the fall of the Jedi, basically. I think, you know what? I can't wait till it comes out because I'm going to watch them in that order now just to see.
Just see what happens.
Just to see.
That's reasonable. I think that's reasonable.
Where do you rank The Rise of Skywalker?
Probably top 4, to be honest.
Ooh, top 4. Okay, so I know you're the ones Revenge of the Sith. What are the other two?
Revenge of the Sith is in there. I think Force Awakens is up there. I love probably 5 and 6. So the like competing for my 5 would probably be 3, 5, 6, 7, and 9.
Okay.
And then 1 would probably be right outside of that list. Then 4, then 2, then 8.
Okay.
I think I like Attack of the Clones more than I like Last Jedi.
Okay.
We'll leave that out. What about you? Where is it ranked for you?
Honestly, I think it's top 2 as of right now.
Okay.
I think as of right now, just, you know, off of 2 viewings, I think Revenge of the Sith, I think The Rise of Skywalker, and just the original Star Wars always gets me. A New Hope, just something about that.
It's really
good. It's a beautiful movie. I know it's cheesy, and it's just a beautiful movie. You get dropped right in the middle of the action, you get whiny Luke, and then you get Vader, and you get, it's just everything. You don't get too much info, you know, it's I love it.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think The Rise of Skywalker, the thing with The Rise of Skywalker is I think it's very similar to Endgame, and it's a great movie, but you need to have seen everything else or, like, other movies to really understand it.
You need a lot of info to really appreciate
it. You need at least 7 and 8 to really, really, really get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you could jump more because 7.
Palpatine, like, you don't.
True. I think you need at least 6, 7, and 8.
I think you have to have at least 6, 7, 8, right? Like,
yeah, I don't.
And I would argue that you almost need 3 in order because of the like the Palpatine Anakin relationship, like.
Yes.
This whole Palpatine coming back thing would be so much less if we hadn't seen Palpatine and Anakin together.
I agree. I agree. And I think that's why 3, 6, and 9 are the perfect trilogy. I think it was perfect.
I think you're just a genius.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, my only real big question that I don't have answer from The Rise of Skywalker is how did he come back to life, Palpatine?
But, yeah, I don't even know if I care.
But like, yeah, the same. I don't really care. And another thing is, do you think like the whole Snoke is a clone and Rey is a Palpatine thing? Do you think they were just like, oh, that's a really good idea when the fans were rumoring it?
Honestly, yeah, I think that's what it feels like to me. Is just like
definitely the clone thing for the Snoke.
To me, it feels like J.J. Abrams became in charge again, and was like, oh crap, The Last Jedi completely derailed everything I had started in The Force Awakens. Let's just go ahead and take what people are theorizing because that we know that they like those ideas.
Yeah, right, and I think you and I may have talked about it, but that moment he's like, you're Palpatine's granddaughter. In the first 3 seconds, I was like, no, why would you do that? Why? This we're trying to avoid this. Mm-hmm. We were trying to avoid this fan service. But then, and then right after that, I'm like, wait a minute. Let me see. And you know what? I think it worked perfectly for the movie. I think it worked so well.
She had to be somebody because of The Force Awakens. Like,
and she.
I know people are like complaining, like, oh, why does it have to be all of these connections? And it's like, did you watch The Force Awakens? They alluded to so
much. It had to be.
That you can't just like pretend that didn't happen. I don't.
And I like.
That's what The Last Jedi felt.
And I think they played, but you know, they played a whole like, your parents were no one. And then JJ's like, yeah, you're right. They were no one because they chose to be no one.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that. You know?
I agree.
Yeah, you know, you can complain about it. I see your argument. I totally get it. But it serves the story more purpose. It serves more purpose to the story if she is someone important. Belonging to this other, to this, mm-hmm. to this family, you know.
Yep.
Like, you know, and you could do something in a comic or something. I hope they don't, but you could do something in a comic where because of her birth, something around that force is what brought Palpatine back. You know, I don't know, but
mm-hmm. yeah.
But, and my biggest question is who got it on with Palpatine, but like, because it obviously happened. I also wonder. Right? Like, it's a little weird, but it works. I enjoy it.
You do the math, it gets a little weird. But you're just
exactly.
To
exactly. Hey, whatever. It's Star Wars.